Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
1206, and good afternoon to you. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Man, do we have a lot going on. Ground zero for the illegal alien debate is California, and boy, do we have some information coming from California. Going to have a whole big update for you from there. Also, a woman has been busted for cursing at the Easter Bunny. That story as well. One of my favorites of the day. And I'm going to have a question for you ladies at some point in the next 3 hours. Is Cosmopolitan magazine pornography? Because apparently Walmart and some other folks think so. Going to talk about that as well as, again, the afternoon progresses here on WTN. There is a local state rep that finds himself in a bit of trouble. Of course, we all know. We've been hearing the story off and on all day today. State Rep David Byrd. He is accused of, let's just say, molesting girls 15, 16 years old some 30 years ago when he was the girls' basketball coach at Wayne County High School. Now, the Channel 4 I-Team did a whole investigation. We know that these women are accusing him of all kinds of sexual misconduct. I've put together a bit of a montage on what these accusations are. Listen. And Belle, if I could have some audio, please.
You owe me. You owe me. I've been thinking about what I want. I want to see you naked.
Where did he touch you?
My breast and below the belt as well.
He positioned himself to where his penis was between my butt cheeks. And he started rubbing my back. He put his hands under my shirt to rub me. And he went to the sides of my breast, underneath my arm.
She claims Byrd tried to touch her genital area.
His words were, I want you to feel how you make me feel. I want you to feel it throbbing.
Why come out more than 30 years later?
Yeah, and that is the big question. Why come out 30 years later? And basically what Channel 4 is reporting is that it's the hashtag Me Too movement that finally gave them the courage to come forward. Now, their names are Christy Rice. There's three women, Christy Rice, Robbie Kane. Both of these women were roughly 15, 16 years ago. When this happened 30 years ago, a third woman came out, and she is deciding to remain anonymous. But the big question for State Rep David Byrd is, should he resign? Now, we have Beth Harwell, the Speaker of the House, as we all know, Beth Harwell. She is calling for his resignation. Now, some folks are saying that is politically motivated. I will get into that as the afternoon progresses. But this is something that David Byrd is going to have to deal with. He is saying that this did not happen. Now, here's the problem for David Byrd, is that one of these women, Christy Rice, called him a while back, a few weeks ago. I think the phone call was actually made in February. And she recorded the conversation unbeknownst to David Byrd. And she got him to not necessarily confess, but she did get him to profusely apologize. Now, Channel 4, the I-Team, they do have, I don't know if they have the entire phone call, but they do have excerpts of the phone call. And I'm going to play about 1:08 of the phone call. And what you're going to hear is David Byrd talking with, it's Christy Rice, one of these three women that are now coming forward. And it's all about these accusations that he had some inappropriate touching, inappropriate behavior with these women some 30 years ago. And she called him on the phone to confront him. Now, again, this was when he was a girls basketball coach at Wayne County High School. He went on, of course, as we all know now, to be a Republican, a state legislator out of Waynesboro. And here's how that phone call sounded.
I can promise you one thing, that I have been so sorry. I mean, for that. I mean, I've lived with that, and you don't know how hard it has been for me.
David, you know exactly what happened between me and you. I mean, that's not a question. I don't know what happened between the others.
Well, then now there's no others. I wish I had a do-over, because I promise you I would have corrected that, and that would never happen. I hope you believe me when I say that. You know, I mean, it's one of those things that I think about it all the time, and you know, and I always ask forgiveness for it, and I hope he forgives me. And it's just one of the things that I've really beat myself up, and I don't know if you believe that or not, but I do. I mean, all the time. This probably hadn't been a Sunday gone by when I, doing my communion and everything, and I'm asking for forgiveness of sins, my sins. That's one of the things that that I do.
Yeah, and again, you never hear, at least with what is on the Channel 4 website, you never really hear the accusations discussed. The woman in question, Christy Rice, said, you know what happened between us, and he apologizes. But we didn't hear any specifics. We didn't hear necessarily any details. And that's going to be part of the question is, okay, so do we need to hear, one, the rest of the phone call? Again, Bert is denying these accusations, although then the question would have to be for David Bert, okay, well, if you deny the accusations, what is it that you are apologizing for? Now, we have a lot of folks that are asking him to step down from the state legislature, and he says, well, not so fast. And there's others that are also saying not so fast, but Beth Harwell is asking him to resign, and she says, and here is the quote, Speaker Harwell believes Bird should step down, according to Kara Owen, a spokeswoman for Beth Harwell. She has spoken to him directly and asked him to step down. The allegations are not, they say, related to his service in the state legislature. Now, they also talk about what exactly is next for David Bird, and that is going to have to be a question that only David Bird can answer, because I'm not exactly sure what it is now that is going to happen to his political career. Now, these women went on to say in this interview with the Channel 4 I-Team, and you can see the whole thing on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I've posted it there. They say, and one of the women, Robbie Kane, she graduated in 1998. She says, this is an embarrassing part of my past that I wish to forget. And again, the big question for Channel 4 was, why are you coming out now? There's going to be some folks that don't believe you. Well, according to SMV, they were prompted by, again, the Me Too movement. And they say this was sexual misconduct at the hands of the former coach. Now, some of the other things that they're saying is that Bird kissed this woman, Christy Rice, at least 10 times during her sophomore year. They mostly kissed after practice on school property, but on one occasion, they kissed outside of her home. Again, according to the woman Rice, some of this happened, by the way, on an out-of-town basketball trip as well. And so it goes. One of the women say that she tried to run from this whole negative experience when the reporter for Channel 4 said, why come out more than 30 years later? She says, I hate to say it, but I ran. I ran from it, and I never really looked back. And by the way, that's what a lot of the women will say from the whole Me Too campaign is, well, I didn't really want to deal with it. I just wanted to close that door and move forward as best as I can. But now, 30 years later, here they come. Now, a couple of different things at play here. Of course, one, we do have this recording. I don't know if I could say that the recording is cryptic between David Bird and this particular woman, Christy Rice. I don't know if you can call it cryptic, but what I can say is I would like to hear the entire conversation. I would like to hear if there are any actual allegations that are leveled against him in the phone call. It sounds like he's acknowledging that he knows exactly what she's talking about. But I still think that in the court of public opinion, we do deserve to hear, and we should hear, what exactly it is that the specific allegations are so that Bird can answer those very specific allegations. Rice says, I know that there's going to be people that are not going to believe me. But she says, I just really feel like I couldn't live with myself if the truth did not come out. Again, in the recorded phone call, Bird denies anything happened with other students. And so that is, of course, was a lie because we know, and if you believe the students, because we know that there are two other women that have come forward. But again, Channel 4 points out explicitly a number of different times, even with Rice, Bird never explicitly details what he did to her. But again, he does profusely apologize. And so Channel 4 is doing what Channel 4 needs to do, which is they need to speak to David Bird, this Republican out of Waynesboro, and ask him why exactly is it you are apologizing to the woman and why it is that she has not necessarily had her questions answered as far as Christy Rice. So there's a lot to talk about here. David Byrd, again, denying the accusations. He'd like to hear, as I said, I'd like to hear the entire phone call. We'll have to see what exactly it is that is the next step for Speaker Beth Harwell. Now, the Tennessee Star, our friends over the Tennessee Star, they say there might be a political component to this. Listen to this. We know that there is some legislation that Byrd was sponsoring. It was a bill that would allow the arming of teachers, which, as you know, I'm very much in favor of. As a matter of fact, I think it was the next day after the horrible shooting in Parkland, Florida, that I said, yeah, this is something that we absolutely should look into. And so Byrd apparently sponsored a bill that would allow the arming of teachers, and Speaker Beth Harwell asked him to remove the bill, to rescind the bill. Sources tell the Star that Harwell had asked Byrd to drop his bill to arm teachers a week ago and that he refused to do so. So they say the surfacing of the charges combined with Harwell's, they say it's a sudden rush to call for Byrd's resignation, is nothing but a political hit job on her part, sources are telling the Tennessee Star. Now, they talk about Beth Harwell's rush to judgment, and they say that it came without hearing Byrd's side of the story or availing Byrd of the, and this is important, and I would agree with the Tennessee Star and disagree with the Tennessee Star all at the same time. They talk about Harwell's rush to judgment and that it came without hearing Byrd's side of the story or availing Byrd of the investigative process, which is the right of any member of the state legislature against whom an ethical misconduct charge has been filed. Now, as far as the Star can determine, they say no ethical misconduct charges have been filed against Representative Byrd through the appropriate office of the Tennessee House of Representatives. Again, this happened 30 years ago. Now, does it matter that it happened 30 years ago? And this is something that is just coming to light now. Again, I just played you the audio of Byrd apologizing profusely, but we don't exactly, and that's, I don't know how important that is to you, but it is exactly not known what he did. We know what the allegations are, but we don't know what it is that he's apologizing for. But yeah, they say as far as the Star can determine, no ethical misconduct charges have been filed against Byrd through the appropriate channels. The alleged incidents, which Byrd does dispute, they say occurred more than 30 years ago, long before Byrd was elected to the Tennessee House of Representatives in 2014. So we know that this is going to be something that, at least in my opinion, this is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. So you've heard the accusations. I've told you that State Representative David Byrd, he denies the allegations. I've told you about Beth Harwell asking for his resignation. And I guess the good people of Waynesboro, the question to them would be this. You've more than likely heard all of this. What is your decision? What is your opinion on what David Byrd should do? Should he step aside? Should he be forced to resign? Are you convinced? And in the court of public opinion, what is your opinion on this? 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. It is interesting because when you talk about the quote-unquote sudden rush that the Tennessee Star discusses, well, I guess that would depend on when Beth Harwell heard about this story and heard the audio and heard about what these women are accusing David Byrd of. If she found out about this 2 or 3 months ago, and then she just now is coming out after this dispute over this arming of the teachers bill, well, then I could see that this would look like something that she sat on for some sort of political opportunism. But if it's something where she just heard about this in the last few days and is asking for his resignation, well, then that is a little different because that would be her reaction. But I also agree with the Tennessee Star that even though it looks really bad for Byrd, the truth of the matter is he has not necessarily been accused of anything from a ethical misconduct standpoint. Once they file the ethical misconduct charges, then the next question is there does need to be an investigation, and then it goes from there. But there is evidence here. I don't know how overwhelming I would say it is, but it does look bad for David Byrd, the Republican out of Waynesboro, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Your opinions, always welcome. You can see that story and a whole lot more on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page. We've got more of your calls, or some of your calls, straight ahead. Also, President Trump is planning to apparently oust David Shulkin as VA secretary. The details behind that story, straight ahead, right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. A porn star's attorney wants to depose the president, and the accused Antioch shooter arraigned today. These stories and more are coming up at 12:30 on WTN.
12:27 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Talking about State Rep. David Byrd, Republican out of Waynesboro. Of course, these allegations of sexual misconduct some 30 years ago. These women, three women, two publicly, Christy Rice and Robbie Kane, and a third woman who wishes to remain anonymous, basically saying when he was a basketball coach at Wayne County High School, well before he ended up as a state representative, that he had some sexual misconduct against them some 30 years ago. And now we've got State Rep. Beth Harwell, I should say, Speaker of the House, Beth Harwell, saying that she thinks that he should resign. Some people are saying now that this is something that is a political hit job. What say you? Let's say hello to Thomas in Nashville on WTN. Hey, Thomas.
Hi. I think that we have a statute of limitations for a reason. It's so that this sort of thing doesn't happen. Someone makes a claim from 30 years ago. I could say that Beth Harwell touched me when I was a child doesn't make it true. And even if it was, that was all those years ago. Who cares?
Well, I think it is important. First of all, let's not forget that there is that phone call that was recorded between Christy Rice and I played you all the audio in the previous segment, between Christy Rice and David Byrd, where he's apologizing profusely. But the question is, what exactly was it that he was apologizing for?
But that's between the two of them. It has nothing to do with his political standing at this point because it happened 30 years ago. Oh. That's why we have the statute of limitations.
Okay.
And on a separate note, Dan, no one can ever take your man card. Anytime someone says they're going to, you just look at them and laugh at them. Man is in your last name. Have a great day. Bye.
That was brilliant.
That was good, wasn't it? Thank you very much. By the way, very quickly, thanks to everybody for coming out last night to our event. That was a lot of fun. I had a great time last night meeting listeners out there at the event last night with Brian. We had Pamela. We had Michael Del Giorno out there. And, of course, Paul Winkler, Phil Valentine, Bell was there as well. Everybody was there from the radio station. Most everybody was there from the station. And it was a lot of fun. Going to do more of those, by the way. A lot of folks keep asking, when are you going to do that again? Because a lot of times our events are focused in Williamson County. There is a reason for that. But here in the next several months, we're going to head on out to places like Mount Juliet, perhaps Murfreesboro, downtown. Who knows where we are going to end up? We're searching for locations as we speak. And so looking forward to meeting listeners all across Middle Tennessee in the next several months. And so you want to stay tuned for that. Okay, coming up next, is Joe Biden really backing off on his comments that he wanted to take President Trump behind the gymnasium and beat the crap out of him? Well, yes, he is. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more straight ahead on WTN. 1237 Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandy Show. Joe Biden is walking it back. Now, we all know what crazy old Uncle Joe said when he was talking about how he was disgusted with what the president says about women. And the former VP said that he wanted to fight Trump in high school. You remember that? He said he'd knock him out and all this other stupid stuff. And it just turned into a ridiculous example of the political commentary that we have today. So now apparently crazy Uncle Joe has decided now to, I don't know if he's apologized for it, but he is saying that he shouldn't have said it. He says, I shouldn't have said what I said, he says to some podcast hosts. He says, I shouldn't have brought it up again because let's also not forget that he had said this twice, that he wanted to beat up President Trump. He says, I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have brought it up again because I don't want to get down into the mosh pit with this guy. You know what's interesting about that? I'm going to yammer on this for a moment. Because when former VP Crazy Uncle Joe says that he doesn't want to get down into the mosh pit with President Trump, You know, isn't that what the left has been doing for, I mean, well over a year? Not only have they been in the mosh pit with President Trump, but many times they are pulling President Trump into the mosh pit. And trust me when I say, I know that President Trump himself dives headfirst into the mosh pit. Trust me when I say, I know that. But many times it is the media that will pull President Trump in when the president himself is simply trying to do his job. So you want to talk about who's in the mosh pit and where crazy Uncle Joe is? You know what? What the vice president was trying to do, what the former vice president was trying to do, was make a name for himself as he contemplates whether or not he wants to run for president in 2020. And for that, mission accomplished. Anyway, Biden is emphasizing that he made the comment within the rhetorical parameters that he and Trump were still in high school, not in the current day. He added that he should not have echoed this statement he first made during the 2016 campaign. He still feels strongly about the underlying sentiment. So I wonder if by crazy old Uncle Joe bringing this up again in the sense that, well, I shouldn't have said that, but the truth of the matter is I stand by the comments. Biden says the truth of the matter is I find the behavior and the talk vulgar. I find it degrading. And he says, what I think it does is encourage the minority element of the male population to think it's okay to engage in the behavior the president talks about. Now, I think we all know, first of all, that not everybody, not all guys, has anybody started the hashtag not all men initiative yet? No? All right, fine. I keep waiting for that to happen. But I think part of what I would say that I'm disappointed in Crazy Uncle Joe is that when he says it encourages the minority element of the male population to think it's okay to engage in the kind of behavior the president talks about. Well, the truth of the matter is that most, if not all men that I know, they either have that kind of talk in them or they don't. But to me, I think that's more of a parenting issue. The president and people in power, people like Joe Biden, people like President Trump, they don't tell me what is okay to say and what's not to say. They don't dictate my behavior. And I would say to Crazy Uncle Joe, you know, the majority of us, we don't look to our government officials to tell us what is the appropriate behavior. Most of us can figure that out for ourselves. Sadly, not all of us, but most of us. So we know that this is just another opportunity for Joe Biden to jump back into the limelight and try and make it look like he is the better person. But one of the things that we all know about Joe Biden is he will more than likely be running in 2020. And this is just another way for the former VP to get his name out there and frankly, seem relevant. And one of the things that Biden has been and certainly was for President Obama way back when. And he did also fulfill this role for the Democrats during the 2016 election is he has served as sort of an attack dog on President Trump. As has John McCain, then candidate Trump, as has John McCain. I discovered yesterday, and I presented the story to you, John McCain has a book coming out in the next couple of weeks, apparently, and it's going to be all about how he grades President Trump on his first year or so in office. And so I know we can all look forward to a book that is going to be clearly something that is going to be blasting Trump, and we can be forced to watch all of these interviews with John McCain. We know that's going to happen because there's nothing that is more satisfying and exciting to the left than a Republican willing to call out President Trump. And so we're going to be seeing John McCain all over the place here in the next couple of weeks. We don't know, to be perfectly candid, what his health is like. And somebody brought up a great point yesterday. This all happened in the 2 o'clock hour, but so you may or may not have heard it. But yesterday a guy called up and said, well, the question is this. You know, how is it John McCain with all of the health problems that he has? How has he been able to write a big, long book on political analysis and the job that he thinks that President Trump has done? Well, I would submit that it was more than likely written by some sort of a ghostwriter. And that's how these politicians do it these days. And so, again, That's going to be something we're going to have to be subjected to in the next couple of weeks, as John McCain all over the place. In other news, well, this is not good news, but we see this all the time. Veteran has killed himself in a St. Louis VA hospital waiting room. Now, you know that I talk to veterans all the time, you know, and I don't always talk about it on the radio, but this is something that I've been talking about for, I think it's just about since I arrived here at WTN years ago. And that is the problems with the VA. And so clearly this is a story that will touch the heart of anyone who either has a veteran in their lives or perhaps you're a veteran yourself. And it would appear now that this particular person in Missouri, the unidentified U.S. military veteran, he was so distraught that he literally committed suicide in the waiting room of a Veterans Affairs hospital in St. Louis. Now, you don't think that is a message to the VA? You don't think that that is a message that this one particular veteran, I would assume he was unable to get the help that he needed. I would assume that this is a guy who was had to deal with all kinds of hoops and, you know, run around in circles and everything else as far as getting the care that he needed. I would assume that he was not satisfied with the care that he got at the VA, and he finally had had enough, and he decided to send that message not only to the St. Louis VA, but also to the VA nationwide. Maybe it was a message to President Trump that when this 62-year-old killed himself, and we don't exactly know how he killed himself, at least not yet, but he killed himself in the waiting room there at the VA facility. It's clearly a message to President Trump. The agency is not immediately responding to an email and phone call from Fox News. The circumstances leading up to the death were unclear. I'd be willing to bet that I can tell you right now what the circumstances were. He was either addicted to painkillers, and the VA, as I don't want to go through all the rigmarole of accusations against the VA these days, but we know all of the various problems that the VA has. They have managed to get all of these veterans addicted to painkillers because they overindulged and they overprescribed painkillers to a lot of these veterans who came back from the war, and they were in a lot of pain. And so the VA said, well, let's just go ahead and prescribe all these painkillers for all these veterans. And then they realized, oops, now we've got all these veterans that are addicted. Now what do we do? So then a lot of those guys and women, too, they had to go to some other source to get the help that they needed. And for a lot of those guys, it was opioids on the street. And the VA had no real way to help those in need. And so over and over and over again, we have heard these stories. I think we're still at 22, 23 suicides a day. Now, David Shulkin, as you may or may not know, he is the current VA secretary, and he is also somebody who is under fire for a number of different reasons. Now, the president has been rumored. I don't know what's going on with this guy, but President Trump has been talking about, at least according to sources, of firing this guy for a long time. And this guy has controversy wherever he goes. This was from Daily Mail, but this was all over the place. And one of the things that David Shulkin was involved in, and first of all, he was a leftover from the Obama administration. And, you know, when he became VA secretary, I even said, why is President Trump keeping this guy, this leftover from the Obama administration, why is he keeping this guy when you have others that could very easily, not easily, but who could very easily fill that role? You know, Rick Perry, for one. The word is that Shulkin's going to be out and Rick Perry's going to be in. That is yet to happen, but it's been like 3-4 weeks with the rumors that this guy's going to be fired. A stinging internal investigation finds failed leadership at multiple levels at the Veterans Administration during the Obama administration that put patients at a major hospital at risk. And they point out it is yet another blow to current Secretary David Shulkin, who also served at the agency then and now is fighting to keep his job. Now, they came out with this 150-page report by the VA's internal watchdog, and it offers new details to its preliminary finding last April of patient safety issues at the Washington, D.C. Medical Center. Now, the reason why this is important is because this was at a facility that Shulkin himself was in charge of. They talk about communications breakdowns. They talk about chaos. They talk about spending waste at the government's second largest department. The report found that at least three VA program offices directly under Shulkin's watch knew of serious persistent deficiencies when he was the VA Undersecretary of Health from 2015 to 2016. Did stop short, though, of saying whether he was told about these issues. Now, my two cents on this is, listen, if you are in any way involved with the VA, and this is one of the major facilities within the VA, it's Washington, D.C. He should absolutely know of these issues. And if he didn't know about the issues, well, then guess what? He needs to suffer the consequences. Shulkin told government investigators he, quote, did not recall ever being notified of the problems. We know that he has been struggling to keep a grip on his job since a blistering report by the inspector general last month concluded that he had violated ethics rules by improperly accepting, you remember this, Wimbledon tennis tickets, and that his then chief of staff had doctored emails to justify his wife traveling to Europe with him at taxpayer expense. Now you got all this drama within the VA when they should be trying to figure out how to prevent veterans from committing suicide in the waiting rooms of VA facilities across America. You get all these people, all these higher ups and staffers within the VA. It is in complete chaos because they are rebelling against the VA secretary, David Shulkin, who should be out of a job. Story says he also faces a rebellion among some VA staff and has issued a sharp warning to them. Get back in line or get out. So David Shulkin, this is somebody who he's fighting for his job. He's fighting people within the VA. And clearly, at least it seems to me, and I know that it just depends on the facility as to whether or not the VA is making any real progress or not. When you look at the amount of money that has been spent trying to fix the VA, the big question would be this. Has David Shulkin, this Obama leftover, and let's face it, you know, we know that the problems within the VA started with the George Bush administration before Obama, but they really exploded under Obama. And so now the president, Trump, has been saying, well, we're going to do whatever we can to fix the VA. What's happened in the year or so, the year and several months that President Trump has been in office? Has the VA seen any kind of progress at all? Well, unfortunately, and like many things in politics, it just depends on who you ask. It's 1251 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. Medical marijuana up for a key committee vote again today, and another possible school shooting averted. Details at 1 on WTN.
1257 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandy Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Well, the happiest teenagers use smartphones and digital media less than an hour a day. Isn't that interesting? You know, I've told you the story of my daughter a number of different times, and she's an adult now. But, you know, when she was a kid, she was on Facebook and she was on God knows what else. I don't even want to know. But one of the things that we did as parents when I was married was we said, okay, you know what? We're going to take away the Facebook, and it was like a form of punishment, right? We're going to take away the Facebook and all these other things. Because she had done something, I don't even remember what the heck it was. And she decided at some point on her own, you know what? I'm actually happier not being on Facebook. I'm actually happier not being on social media. And I don't even think she's on social media much anymore. Isn't that interesting? And now this study finds that the happiest teenagers use smartphones and digital media less than an hour a day. What does that tell you? You know, it is interesting because if you see a kid and you take away their smartphone, their devices, whatever it is, you see a kid who has their devices taken away, they go bat crap crazy. They really do. Tears are rolling down their face and they're just, it's like their world has ended. But I think if you can make sure that your kids don't get addicted to this stuff from the very beginning, then your life as a parent and the lives of your kids is going to be a lot better as they grow up. So that's a very interesting poll. I'll share with you some of the details coming up. Also, in the next hour, reports from Ground Zero for the illegal alien debate. California, not going to believe what's happening in my old hometown of Orange County, California. That is straight ahead right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.